The new Starz series, Marianne George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, everyone. It's Sophia. Welcome to Work in Progress. Welcome back to Work in Progress, friends. This week, we have a guest who I've been a fan of for what feels like forever. Ariana DeBose is an award-winning actress. She is known for varying roles on stage, in film and television. I was lucky enough to see her in the original cast of Hamilton in New York on Broadway. I was so blown away by her, and she has just continued this breathtaking trajectory, winning an Academy Award in addition to a BAFTA for her performance in Steven Spielberg's reimagining of West Side Story. She played Anita so beautifully, and she also, in the midst of, you know, doing such an iconic role in such an iconic film and winning an Oscar for it, happened to make history because she became the first openly queer Afro-Latina to win an Academy Award. She's an absolute legend, and not only is she following up that project with incredible films, other plays, hosting the Tony Awards not once but twice in 2 years, being nominated for Emmys. I mean, the list literally goes on and on and on, but she is doing something that is so close to her heart and mine. Ariana has taken a role as the ACLU's artist ambassador to advocate for voting rights. She is doing incredible work, making sure we all have the right to vote, and also helping the ACLU to debunk myths and provide trusted information in a year where it is more important than ever. So today we're going to chat about Broadway, art, identity, voting, and probably plenty more things that make us feel excited, inspired, and motivated for the year ahead. Let's get to it. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy that you're here, and like, just the overlap that we have with some of our favorite friends. I'm just like, I have not gotten to spend time with her, but I love her.
Same. Makes me so happy.
I'm so excited. Is there anything that you want to know? Is there anything that you want to definitely talk about?
Yeah, not really. I feel like, okay. I mean, I don't claim to be an expert in anything. I'm just like a human. So.
Same.
I always like provide a disclaimer on anything. I'm like, guys, just my perspective and experience, but I could be wrong, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing when you learn more and then change your mind or just like expand your opinion. I think that's, isn't that an interesting thing about our lives too, is like now because everything is so online, it's almost like supposedly every time you have a thought, you're declaring who you are. And it's like, we're not, or we're just all on this journey together learning.
Yep. And well, isn't that like the thing about America? You're supposed to be able to like change your mind, have an opinion, all the things.
It's one of the things I feel like I can say to you, because I know you are also such an activist and an advocate. Like when you say, isn't that the thing about this country? I think, yes, I think it's baked into even the ideals of who we are, because we had these incredible founding ideals that even the founding fathers, who were by no means perfect, who have a whole lot of, you know, skeletons in and out of their closets, they were like, we're going to do the most progressive thing that's been done in history. And we know we're not even building it the right way yet. So we're going to bake change into the foundation. It's what James Baldwin said. Like, I love this country and therefore I criticize her. I want to hold
her.
Yes. Like, I need to hold her to the standards that she says are hers. And I think the job of our generations is to get ever closer to the actual execution of those ideals.
Yeah. It's like, that's why they created living documents. It's okay. Yeah. It's like anybody who wants to be better than they were the day before, they, like, I constantly like check myself, ask the questions, critique, you know what I mean?
Like self-interrogation.
Take the notes, you know, like, I feel like our, you know, we're as well, I'm glad we're recording this because it's probably going to be really helpful. I just feel like, you know, that's part of what being a citizen of the United States is, you know, like you are, if you are really being active and noticing it, it's like, no, we're not always going to get it right. But the whole point of voting is so that you can participate in the critique and the making better of the world that you live in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me being asleep in that process is not really an option, partially because my identity demands that I stay awake.
Yes.
And yeah.
Okay. So this is cool. Cause we dove in, and I actually think that this is a moment that connects us well to what's normally my first question, but I was just like, you also want to change the world. Tell me all about it. When you think about that perspective, like you stand as this incredibly accomplished woman, and what you have achieved is breathtaking, and the way you use your platform is breathtaking, and you are also very aware of how your identity requires you to spend the privilege of a platform like this. Mm-hmm. When you, I always like to know, you know, when I sit across from somebody who like has an Academy Award on their shelf, I'm like, do you see Ariana today? If you were to like hang out with your 8-year-old self, would you see the through lines of who you are, or were you into completely different things when you were little? Like, how is it now for you to look back on yourself?
You know, it's funny. Looking at my 8-year-old self, I could see how she got here. I mean, I say that like really assuredly, but I really can. Like, I was a very creative child, you know, and I was the type of kid, like when I was born, my mom and I, we lived with my grandmother. And I'm an only child. I was raised as an only child. And what do you do? Only children, we have to find ways to entertain ourselves.
Mm-hmm. We sure do.
So I would like go outside. We lived in like an apartment complex, and I'd go outside and there were these staircases, and I made the staircase like my stage. And I would just give shows for myself. And like making up songs or singing songs I heard. And I'd like, oh, what if I did this dance step going downstairs? And like the neighbors would sort of look through the window and I would wave at them, and they were great about it. But look, I mean, I think about it now, I'm like, wow, they must have thought Wow, she's really going for it, that little girl. Yeah.
Just belting it out.
Just belting it out. Like, but it, I don't know, that sort of endless, like, childlike curiosity and the need to express, because that's really what it was. I wanted to find a place to put my emotions, or, you know, I remember when Titanic came out, that, you know, Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On, like, 8-year-old Ariana, or however old I was, like, she was belting it out on the staircase, like, really believing that she was on the Titanic in the front of the ship with the sunset and the wind and the singing and the chest pound. Like, there's a lot of that young person that is still inside of me. But also, you know, my mom is a public school teacher. She's an educator. And again, she raised me as a single parent. And I was surrounded by educators, and predominantly female educators for that matter. And so it really took a village to raise me. But as you can see, I'm the brown, I'm a black woman in the United States of America. Some people would look at me and be like, oh, she's brown. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm black. I am an Afro-Latina. And my mom is white. So, and I was raised by her side of the family, really, and our extended, like, chosen family. So my father, that brings the Latinidad to my existence, was not present. So Spanish was not spoken in my home. I was not raised eating the food at all times that are cultural to my identity. And so I didn't come to that portion of my identity, or really having the opportunity to dig into that as much until my adulthood. There was sort of a disconnect in my childhood. I hate the way this sounds, but it is my reality. I did not see color for the longest time, and I didn't really have a concept of race. I could hear tone. Like, if I'm in the grocery stores or with my mom as a kid, and, you know, someone says something that doesn't sound very nice, or throws us a look that is not very inviting or is judgmental, I could discern those types of things. But it wasn't really until, you know, I was, you know, very, very much in school that I really started to process all of that. And as we know, they don't put a lot of the realities of certain things in textbooks. So, but thank God I had an educator for a parent who helped supplement all of that, you know. And she did go the extra mile, understanding that she has a child of color, and she needed to explain certain things to me, you know, and really give me an understanding of racism. Even though in my mind, I wasn't processing, if that makes sense. I knew what racism was, but I felt like the civil rights movement was so far away because it was in a book, you know? And so then as I was developing as an adult, or becoming an adult and moving to New York City and seeing the realities of the world, I'm like, nope, the civil rights movement is not that far away. In fact, she's fresh.
Yes.
She's still fresh.
Well, and when you consider the fact, speaking of your mom as an educator, like, Ruby Bridgers is still alive. That little girl who had to be escorted by state troopers into her school at the age of 5 in her little Mary Janes and little bows in her hair, like, she's younger than my mom. And so I think it's so interesting to hear you, the way you talk about this, because I know that for me, what feels like the experience of our generation is the waking up to what we were taught as children lived in books is actually our present day experience that remains reverberating. Yeah. And I don't know, if I put myself in your mom's shoes, like, it, to think back to when you were a little kid and we weren't having, you know, common conversations about intersectionality. We were in that process. Like, what an incredible thing that, as you said, your mom was an educator who had the wherewithal to say, I'm a white woman raising a daughter of color, whose identity is also intersectional.
Right.
And like, of course you've had a journey, and thank God she was your mom. Like, whoa, what an experience. Was moving to New York because of how diverse it is and because of how diverse artist communities are, like, did that feel like a homecoming or a wake-up call or both?
Both. To be honest, it felt like both. I feel like, you know, my journey within the Broadway community has been wonderful and also fascinating. I think, you know, I came under what felt like to me, living in the experience of it, I felt like I came under a lot of criticism that I was like the white black girl. I didn't sound black enough. I didn't sing black enough. I didn't really dance black enough. I just really wasn't black enough. In fact, there were several nights I'd be out and about with artists, and there would be people who would try to tell me about myself and my own blackness. And I was never afforded the in those spaces, I was not afforded the opportunity to defend myself. It was never welcomed for me to explain anything. It was just assumed that I was elitist or thought I was better than everyone else. When in actuality, what was really happening was I was trying to find community. You know, I would ask, for example, like I would ask a question. You know, every culture has its own language, its own like euphemisms or whatnot. And like sometimes, I'll be perfectly frank, sometimes there were moments, especially when I was 18 and fresh in New York, and even into my second Broadway show, like where I didn't understand something. And so I'd ask the question and they'd be like, what the hell? Oh, so you're not really black. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like when I walk down the street, I mean, the cops don't see a difference between me and you. So I don't get it.
Right.
So things like that. And so that was very jarring for me. And to be honest, sometimes I still like have to chat that one out in therapy. Like I don't, because I don't, I am the first person to say, you know, as being a member of both the black community and the Hispanic community, it's like, yeah, there's colorism is a thing. There's interdimensional prejudice that is going on for various different reasons. And sometimes you really have to sit down and unpack what that is. And it can be really hard because it's pitting the community against each other. And then, and also those two communities in particular, it's like they get pit against each other all the time. When in reality, it's like, we should be working together. I'm really unclear. And yet we're still arguing about minutia. And not that the minutia is not important, but given the world that we live in, can we not find our common ground and elevate that first?
Yes.
You know, like I wish that we as communities could have those conversations and like see our differences or the beauty of the minutia as like, these make us individual, but these things bring us together.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not the standpoint that's taken. I will be the first to admit that.
And now a word from our wonderful sponsors.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And what a hard thing it must be to be growing up, growing into yourself, wanting to amass more understanding of your multi-identities. Yeah. And in a way to be told that your multiness is the problem. You're like, but this is me. Like, I live here. I'm here. Literally this person.
Every day. And it's the, you know what? I look back on like my first experiences in New York, and because I was so hungry for community and like, mm-hmm. and to be honest, like coming to New York and finding as an artist and finding the Broadway community also was one of the best things that could happen to me. But I yeah. think when you are like developing and trying to embrace who you are, what is interesting is that for me, it put me in a place where I allowed people to tell me who I was. Mm-hmm. And I am innately an Aquarius and I don't do well with authority figures, but I look back on it now and I'm like, oh, but I let people try to tell me which box I could be in, mm-hmm. which also created issues because I butt heads against that. So I yeah. was sort of cultivating this like cycle of unhappiness, which is not unlike voting rights.
Oh my God, it's so weird that they all sort of tie together.
Really amazing. Yeah. But I feel like I look at it now and I think I started finding a flow in my life when I embraced all of the things that make me. And instead of trying to like put a lid on some things, mm-hmm. By owning them, it allowed me to actually live my most authentic life. And yeah. I've found happiness in my life. That doesn't mean that everything's cupcakes and sprinkles. It's not, but there became a flow. And so I could find the spaces that were meant for me, mm. you know, mm. it's almost like I had to be ready to accept all of that, that there was going to be yeah. good with the bad, and you were never going to be able to cookie cut yourself down mm-hmm. enough to be acceptable. It's like, I don't fucks with palatability anymore.
I me think neither. That's
death to creativity, palatability. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Jinx. I love it. But that's such an experience of stepping into power. And it's like, you know, we clearly don't have the same experience as young women finding our artistry and our specificity. Yeah. But like, I'm hearing you talk about this and I'm like, girl, yes to so much of it. I, you know, at 21 moved for my first big job. And moved to a very small town and felt very isolated and really wanted to be an adult and really wanted to prove that I was mm-hmm. good enough and really wanted to do all the things right. And, you know, I carried all my familial and childhood stuff. Trauma with me, and I wanted to like build a life and do a thing. And And I didn't have anybody saying, if what is offered around you doesn't feel like enough, go out and seek it. I was sort of like, okay, well, if these are the five forks I get to choose from, I'll do this. And if this, and I built a life to be like kind and a good team player and palatable and things, and wasn't good for me.
No.
It's a journey, I think, to discover how to seek more, how to be grateful for what is, but like not give up on yourself a little bit, not shrink yourself a little bit. Yeah. And people especially don't like when women don't shrink themselves, and they especially don't like when we don't shrink ourselves and we're political.
Oh,
but like, it isn't
the worst
lost on,
for them.
It's, oh yeah, they melt down. But like, even when I think about your art, like your identity is inherently political. Your art mm-hmm. has been political. Like, hello, you were part of the original cast of Hamilton. Like,
yeah.
You made politics pop culture in this like beautiful way, in a way that claimed diversity, chose diversity. Like, what was that like? Because by the way, I remember coming like early days and being like, this is the most inspiring thing I've ever seen. All I care about is like the actual potential of the realization of the American documents. Does everybody know? Like, do people know? And then I remember like, within 4 weeks, I wanted to bring a bunch of friends back and like couldn't get tickets mm-hmm. for 4 months. And I was like, okay, everybody knows. Like, and what was it like to be in it? Because I know as an audience member and a fan, I was just like melting down. And I was like you as a kid on the staircase, like bopping around in my car with the windows down, singing along to you guys. Like, what did it feel like to be in it?
Oh, I mean, I could say it was wild, you know?
Yeah.
I think... I don't know if you speak to any members of the original cast, I don't know that we have good words for it, because it felt so singular, to be honest. Yeah. But what you said is exactly what we did. Like, we made art political. It's like, it's so rare that you get like every, you know, you get presidents to Broadway. Like, what? The Secretary of State is coming to Broadway. Like, you know, like senators actively want to see this. It gave art a different platform, and it certainly gave Broadway mm-hmm. a different audience, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that was really cool. And you could be in your 70s or 80s and still love Hamilton. You could be a child and love Hamilton for different reasons, but the messaging behind it, the diversity it spoke to, the, you know, facing some truths about women in the sequel work, you know, like, there was a lot in there that I think, you know, created a different synergy and showed a lot of people what was possible. Mm-hmm. I think fighting the Revolutionary War 8 times a week was really hard.
Girl, I thought about you guys again, because it's just like one of the shows I've seen the most times. And I did a play, like a straight play on the West End in 2023. Right. Mm-hmm. And I would get to the end of a 5-show weekend and literally collapse. And I was like, wait, I have friends who do this and they sing and dance?
Yeah.
Like, how? You, like, I look at you now like a person with superpowers. It's incredible.
It's the wildest thing. I will always say that, like, Broadway and like theater in general, if you're doing theater at a high level, which the West End is so like more power to you.
It was so cool.
Doing straight plays on the West End, I find just inherently intimidating, because like the Brits, they know their theater. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Great taste.
Yeah, I was the one American in the play, and I was like, cool, no pressure. I'm going to be fine.
Oh my God. I heard
it
you
was
were
incredible.
Great though, actually.
Oh, thank you.
I'm
loved
sad
it.
I missed it, but I heard you were absolutely wonderful. So go you.
I loved every minute of it. I was crushed when I got like, you know, as so many people did, like hit so hard pandemic sickness that I was like, oh, I'm actually like too sick to keep working. I've never had this happen before. I've left the hospital and gone back to set. What do you mean I have to go
home? What do you mean? Yeah.
But the months that I got to be there and do it, it gave me the bug in such an intense way. And now I'm like, what's my next play going to be? I need it.
I'm really excited.
I need it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay.
Cool. So, Sophia.
So if you want to do a straight play,
you want to be a straight play, I'm ready. Yeah. Breaker, great. All right, I'm going to keep a lookout.
Okay,
right. You heard it here first, everyone.
Let's go to Broadway.
Broadway. No, but I do think, what was I saying? Oh, I do think there's no training like doing theater. It's a different mm-hmm. kind of stamina. It's a different kind of work ethic. You know, and I had the privilege of doing like 6 Broadway shows almost back to back.
Wow. Yeah, you never stopped.
I didn't. And I'm very grateful. You know, I got some great advice when I was doing my first Broadway show. I ran into Judith Light, who is
icon.
One of my favorite humans on the world, in the planet. Icon. And she was like, just say yes. Just keep saying yes. You will learn something from every wow. show that you do. And the lesson may be easy, the lesson may be hard, but you will learn and you will always have an income because, you know, I didn't go to university for what I do. I think people like assume that maybe I went to Juilliard or maybe I went to, you know, a really great...
like a conservatory.
A conservatory, thank you. Nope, did not. I graduated in 2009. So there just wasn't any money, the recession.
No, but like they always say like the bubble burst in 2008.
Yes, it did. It did. And there was no money for scholarships. And again, I single parent home with a public school teacher salary. It's like we barely had money for me to go to a state school. You know what I mean? I was reliant on scholarships, even in my when I was training. Like I went to a competitive dance studio and received incredible training, but I worked as a teacher's assistant to pay off some of my basic tuition. And then every time we went to like a convention competition or something, I took them very seriously because in the class portion of the convention, I wanted to do well. I was very focused, not to my detriment, but I knew that if I didn't get a scholarship 9 times out of 10, I would not be coming back the next year because we could not afford it. So like dance was such a savior to me because it gave me a structure for my life. I found something I loved and I was willing to do the work so that my opportunities would continue to advance. Like I could keep the doors open. And you know, there at one point in my life, there was a very privileged white woman said to me, like, you're so privileged because you had a white mom. And I was like, in what way do you think that I was privileged? I lived in a small town. For a time, we lived in subsidized housing and people really looked down on my mom because she had a brown child or a black child. And so I don't get it. Like if the cops stopped us and saw me, there's like a myriad of questions. Even sometimes, you know, white women in the grocery store, like would say some things like, is that your child? Like her students at times were like, are you adopted? Like there was always this question around what I came to believe, my validity. And now that does not mean that we had it harder than absolutely everybody. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying that as a child, I understood that there were differences and no, my mom did not have an easy time of it. And perhaps at times my identity might've made it harder, you know, but like she's my mother and she loved me and she busted her butt to give me a good life. But whiteness at times does not always translate to privilege. And I think will always be an inherent privilege to whiteness, but given my identity and the life that I lived growing up, I saw some real times where it was not helpful. Mm-hmm. The whiteness did not come into play as a helpful factor, if that makes sense. And so, and there are people who have trouble hearing that.
It's so odd to me. I don't understand why people want to always couch what others have gone through. It's like, why? Why would someone even feel the need to say that to you? Because then, by the way, you're required to do the emotional labor of educating someone to be like, you know what? Because I lived with my mother, might have had proximity to a version of her privilege, but I also was very aware of how that privilege didn't extend to me because I don't look like my mother. Like, just the fact that you have to sit and say that to somebody is like, God, it's exhausting.
Say that. Oh, it was exhausting. And to this day, at times it is exhausting, but it's like, I share that with you in this moment. Cause I also am like, but this podcast, people love this podcast and maybe they never thought about that. And I'm like, I don't have a problem sharing, but in the moments where it's like, oh God, controversial. Again, I don't care about being palatable anymore. I'll just say it. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And now a word from our sponsors that I really enjoy, and I think you will too.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think we have to be as frank as possible about reality if we ever hope to create better ones.
Yeah.
And to your point, like, okay, if we want to rally the troops for a better America, if we want to make this country live up to its ideals, actually, us women should be mobilizing 51% of the population. Like, let's go. But we have to be willing to hear about the different experiences of the women. Like, if we're all in a pool, then we're a bunch of buckets in a pool. And if I don't know anything about what you go through, or I'm not willing to hear what you go through, or I'm not curious about what you go through, not only am I doing a disservice to you in our relationship, I'm also making myself more ignorant. So I'm going to advocate less well for you and for me. Like, come on. We should just be willing.
Yeah.
Not dissimilarly to a good script, right? Like, to our friends at home, you hear me talk about this a lot with other actors, like how a really good movie or TV show will tell someone's specific story. And when you do specificity really well, everyone identifies with it because it's also universal. And like, we only create a good universal outcome if we are willing to pay attention to everybody's specificity and then design an outcome that supports us all.
And honestly, you say it so plainly. I'm like, this.
Yeah. Come on.
Just that. It seems so simple to me, which is also why I was just like, you know, live my life, so I know my journey, but like knowing all these different like mile markers in my life, it's like, okay, I want to try and cultivate community in the ways that I might not have had growing up. You know what I mean? And so I try to choose my art from that standpoint. Like, who can this speak to? Or how can my presence be a value add? Like, I'm not someone who just like inserts myself just cause. Like, I'm very intentional about things when I, like, I think so, that's very important. But that's also why I think about, like, just to circle back, cause yes, like,
I know,
ACLU,
like,
I know, realness. I, especially on a day like today. But I think when I think about my idea, my identity, my journey, I'm an artist, mm-hmm, they all work together and like sometimes separating, because I think clarity about like what is going on both, mm-hmm, with your identity and your work, because yes, people like to confuse the two, is very important. But that's how I come back to like, mm-hmm, who am I as a human, and what am I trying to do with this, yeah, platform that I've been given? So for me, when I was like, oh, I love the ACLU. Why? Because they are not. Yeah,
they're advocating artists for all of us.
I think that's really important. They're advocating for everyone, even the people. And that's the beauty, yeah, of being an American. Like, I don't always have to agree with my fellow American, but I do believe that we all have a place here in this country, and we, mm-hmm, all have the right to be heard. And so I, yeah, was like, I can get down with that.
I love that.
Let's go.
That also takes a certain willingness to self-interrogate and to hold yourself to the standards you say you believe in. Mm. To say, like, I really do not agree,
yes,
with this person's bigoted opinion, but guess what? Under the First Amendment, they're allowed to say it. So what am I going to do to, yep, support the people they might be verbally attacking? How am I going to build a better system? How am I going to allow them to be who they are, whether I agree or not, and then make sure I'm defending the people who their rights might harm? Like, that takes a bigness. And, you know, again, when you talk about your identity, your journey, your work, like, I think about you being in the original cast of Hamilton. I think about you as this woman who lives at the intersections you live at. In 2022, by the way, like, talk about how history is now. You became the very first queer woman of color to win an Academy Award for West Side Story. And, you know, you're talking about how as, yeah, a kid, you didn't grow up speaking Spanish. Like, what has it been like to lean back into your culture? Have you learned your language? How have you built, yeah, that community? What did it feel like to stand, yeah, up and do that job and then get like the best award for it? Like, what I see is the exact, yeah, thing you were just talking about how all these pieces of you come back to connect. Does it feel like that, mm-hmm, from the inside? Does it feel like a homecoming?
You know, I mean, here's the thing about homecomings. Sometimes, mm, they're uncomfortable. And yeah, and that's okay. That's life. So the journey with West Side Story was both highly uncomfortable and cathartic, mm, and wonderful, mm, and shiny. Mm. It was all of it. But I think the only way that I was... I did what I always do.
Yeah.
I came to it authentically. It's like the very first day I met Steven Spielberg, he was like, so what do you want me to know? And I was like, well, I want you to know that I'm Afro-Latina. I am a Black woman who is Hispanic. And he was like, eh. And I was like, yeah, I know. But like, it's real. And that if you are not willing to, you know, explore that in the context of the making of your movie, mm-hmm, then don't hire me. That was what I said to him. And he just sort of was like,
baller,
thank you for your honesty. And I was like, and I'm also going to tell you that I did not grow up with Spanish spoken in my home. So I took it in high school. I was pretty good at it. But like, this is going to be work for me. And also my dad is not in my life. And he was like, ha-ha,
wow,
thank you for your honesty. And I appreciate it. Like, I was always honest about, mm-hmm, who I was, you know, and who I am. Like, there's no, mm-hmm, need to not be for me. But I went into it with like, this, yeah, may not be good enough for you. You know, I was ready for, wow, him to be like, it's not like, you're not, you don't look like Rita Moreno. You don't look like Cheetah Rivera. Your background is not good enough. You know, I was ready to have all of those normal things, yeah, that are thrown in my face traditionally. And he didn't do that. And so from there on, it made it like, it gave me permission to continue to bring the fullness of my identity to that job. And so then when being the first openly queer woman of color to win an Academy Award was incredibly special, because every part of the process,
yeah,
was that. Like, I never had to be anything but who, mm, I am, you know? And if I had a thought, I could share it. You know, I'm opinionated. I share my opinion. I believe I share my opinions in a way that does not smack someone else down. That is not the point of me sharing an opinion, but I share it from the space of let's open up the opportunities, the horizons. Like maybe there are several different paths we could go down. And if we commit to one without first considering these other things, like what are we even doing sometimes? But it was wild. But the short answer to your question was, no, it didn't always feel good, but the whole process was totally mine. And I got to completely embody and own it every step of the way. So the uncomfortability I owned, the celebration of it I owned. And, you know, during that process, I got to do some family digging, and my Hispanic roots come from San Torce, the little barrio outside of San Juan. So my father's family is from San Torce. Like I took the Spanish lessons. And to be honest, I'll be candid. And like, I have a musical ear. Mm-hmm. My accent is good, but like language, when you don't learn it from a young age, it's use it or lose it. And it's hard. And so I still get anxiety in Spanish speaking spaces when I know what's being said and I can't think quick enough to respond in Spanish. Like it kills me and I want to cry and I turn into 5-year-old Ari who like isn't good enough. It's very hard for me, but I still try.
Well,
and I think that's the important part is like, you have to make the effort.
Well, and what I hear you saying really is like, you're advocating for the fullness of yourself in yourself. And I don't think it's accidental that you are such an advocate for other people too. Like that passion to lean in, you know, tracks for what we were just speaking about with the ACLU. And like for you to be on your journey and simultaneously want to go on a journey for everyone, for us, for people's rights. Like you sit. You know, today you're the newest voting rights ambassador for the ACLU. And you mentioned they defend everybody. They do all the good work. They make sure everybody has access to the same rights. But we know that voting rights in particular have been so under attack. And what made you want to jump into this? And is there like, you know, being the resident expert on this call, like, is there a little overview you can give to our friends who are listening at home? Because I know that so many people in my audience are like, it feels like everything keeps getting worse. What do we do? And you actually have some steps of things we can really do to, you know, be here for each other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wanted to jump in because I just felt like my identity again sort of like demanded it in a way. And I care about people. I really do. Even the ones I disagree with, I still care about you. I want you to have a good life. Even if you don't want that for me. But it's like, I'm also passionate about young people. And I feel like when I watch our rights in general get like dwindled down. And it's for me, I look at it and I'm like, you're just trying to put people in boxes. And I'm so not here for it. We've changed the narratives so much to try and kind of keep people small and keep them from asking questions. And so for me, the basis of my ambassadorship really starts there. It's like, I don't think there's a single dumb question when it comes to voting rights. I think you should ask them all, even the ones that you're like, this may not have anything to do with anything, but I'm going to ask it. Like, I want to sort of demystify that, you know, and just ask the questions people may have and the ones that I have. Also knowing that I may not have the answer, but an organization like the ACLU probably does. And they can explain things. Like I know I was reading, you know, which is hard. Reading the news is hard, or listening to it can be like debilitating and depressing. But I was reading a lot of these, you know, decisions that were coming down from the Supreme Court. And I was like, oh gosh, this is like so much. And this language is so like heavy and honestly makes me feel really dumb. And everything in me just wants to like not read, but I know I need to. And so that's when I would like call up my girl, Jessica, over at the ACLU and be like, what does this mean? And she was like, oh, let me refer you to so-and-so.
Yes.
And they can tell you. And I was like, that's what we should be doing. Like when these decisions come down that it's hard to understand, I want to be like, hey, this thing happened, and I'm pretty sure it affects so-and-so in Arkansas, or this came down from the Eighth Circuit course, and yes. Who does this affect? And I want to ask those questions and see how we can mm-hmm. open up the conversation, or at least make the facts easier yeah. to digest. And again, just remind folks, there are no stupid questions, but the only dumb questions or stupid questions yep. are the ones you don't ask and you don't try to find the answer to. And so I'm sort of putting myself in
I love it.
That space, you know? And also, I know you know all about that because like,
hey,
hello,
we've been in it for a long, long time. Thank you. I think we're all in this together, and it
yeah.
is so important. As we were talking about earlier, like when you manage to have a platform because of what you do, like you got to do good with it. So when you talk about all of the things that, you know, yeah. you've been learning and the questions you've been asking of the folks at the ACLU, we are in an election year. Are there any myths that you want to set
yes.
straight, or any fun facts you want to give to people?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. You know what? I think there's, and this is a large, like yeah. a larger conversation, but I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, the presidential election mm-hmm. is the only one that matters. Now, I know you've talked about this on your podcast, and mm-hmm. like, that's not the truth.
Yeah.
It is so not the truth. Like, it doesn't matter. It does not. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for when it comes to the presidential election, but I am here to like remind you that like anything that is like important to your life, whatever you're showing up to mm-hmm. the polls for, right? 9 times out of 10, those local elections
sure
are real important,
sure
my friends. And we don't think of that because what's in the news so often is these bigger elections. And so that's part of it. I mean, that I just reminding people that like it takes yeah. work to be a voter. Voting is not easy, and the institutions that surround us don't make it easier for us. It does mm-hmm. take time, effort, and planning. For the longest time, even myself, I didn't even know how to find the mm-hmm. correct websites for certain things. Like, how do I find people's platforms? Like, what yep. is even on my ballot? And then I did find resources, like I Am a Voter.
Yeah.
But you have to do that work, and you have to want to to have your voice heard. And the yeah. reality is it does matter.
Well,
it really does matter. And it matters more in election years like this year. Every year it matters. But when you have so many
yeah.
big ticket items on the ballot, mm-hmm. if you don't show up and vote, then for me, I'm just like that. Then we're not seeing the fullness mm-hmm. of our democracy
yeah.
take hold. And again, because I vote, it in my mind, it's my own personal opinion now, I can reserve the right to really criticize my country. Like
yeah.
I will go ham at her.
Yes.
Because I showed up to vote.
Yes.
Because I did my part.
Mm-hmm. And now for our sponsors.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
The way I think about it, too, is like voting is it's a relationship.
Ooh, you know, that's nice.
Like democracy to me is a verb, like love is a verb. It is an action.
It's and an action.
It is so important to take that action because your entire life is governed by policy. Your experience, mm-hmm. the roads you drive on, whether or not they have potholes, whether or not kids have, you know, healthy schools, whether or not people can go to the doctor, it is all designed by policy. And so we have to show up and exercise our right so that we can have a healthier relationship to life in this country.
Yes.
And that is the thing, like when people talk about feeling discouraged or things feel dangerous or like this election matters so much because it will decide the future of the Supreme Court. And we already saw how that went in the last one that didn't go so well. Like people are being harmed by the outcomes of these events. And if we want to undo that harm, we have to show up and vote like we love each other and this country.
That to me is the part I think, you know, I've had personally, you know, I've had some slightly uncomfortable conversations with members of my family.
Oh, yeah.
And it's tough when you do come to someone who doesn't necessarily believe that their vote actually speaks for their families as well, or members of their families. Like your vote isn't always necessarily just for you. It's for your neighbor. You know, it's for someone you love. Like, you know, I am a queer woman of color and my family members are white, but every time they cast a vote, I'm like, just remember,
vote for me.
I'm going to vote for you. I'm going to vote so that your identity, your wants and needs are encompassed in mine, you know, are encompassed in my vote. But am I encompassed in yours?
Yeah.
Like, and that's hard because there's the rights of the individual. And then we also have to look at the rights of the whole.
Yeah.
And again, I've heard you talk about this a lot. It's like, it's not a pie, guys. More rights for me doesn't mean there's less rights for you.
It just means the rights get bigger.
Bigger.
Like the pie gets bigger.
Yeah. Creating more equity means creating more pie.
Yeah.
Like, meow. And I love pie.
You and
I
me
want
both,
everybody
honey.
To have it.
So for our friends who also love pie, should we tell them where they can begin? Because to your point, it can be hard to start the journey. So would you recommend you know, the ACLU on Instagram is ACLU Nationwide.
I do.
Everybody maybe should go there first.
Yes, I do think that the ACLU, if you aren't sure where you stand, right? Mm-hmm. If you're just interested in learning, the ACLU provides a breadth of information on a breadth of topics, right?
Yeah.
And again, it is nonpartisan. So this is literally about human rights. It's about your rights.
For all.
For all. And that's why I think they're such a great place to start if you really are not here for like, I'm blue, I'm red. Why don't you just be? Try being first. The ACLU Nationwide is a great place to start. Their Instagram account is honestly one of my favorite things to follow. And yes, because obviously we're dealing with facts and things that are happening in real time all across our country. Sometimes it can be depressing, but it's informative and it's always hopeful. There's always hope because knowledge is power.
Yes. And I love that.
That makes sense. And also vote.org. Like as far as just process, if you need to check to see if you're registered, the basic 1, 2s and threes, everything you need to know to vote. Vote.org.
I love that.
Or I am a voter.
Yes. And I will say to our friends at home, you can look, I don't like a lot of text messages. I don't like a lot of emails. Like too much communication is the bane of my existence. So I helped organize the I am a voter chatbot because I was like, if it texts me all the time, I'll be furious. And it's partially my organization. You can text the word voter from anywhere in the country to 26797, voter, V-O-T-E-R, and it will give you your updated info on registering. You can make sure you're registered, mm-hmm. and it will send you a text reminder before the election, remind you of where you're going, where your polling place is in case it's changing. It is like the best amount of information with the least amount of being bothered possible. So go online mm-hmm. and then also send a text, and we will make sure you are covered, because we want everybody to have more pie. Now, my dear, you are obviously spending this year being a voting rights ambassador for the ACLU. You are working to defend American democracy. You are out here advocating for people and reminding people of the ways we can be better, deeper, more aware of each other. And I know people are like, and where else can I see her? Like, I got a lot of questions about you. Like, what's next in your career? Where are you going? People are like, they're just desperate for more of you and your voice and all that you are. That's
sweet. Oh, that's really sweet. I'm currently in Winnipeg, Canada, making a movie.
You are in a cold place.
I am. But hey, I'm still paying attention to what's going on in the country.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's the other thing. It's like, I take it very seriously. Like, it's a responsibility to like wake up, pay attention, read. Anyways, but yes, I'm working after, you know,
good
the entertainment
you.
Industry was on strike for like what felt like an eternity for absolutely every person involved. And so I really wanted to work this year, and I'm very grateful to have opportunity. So I'm doing just that at the moment. But I've got some things up my sleeve.
Okay.
She might be doing, your girl might be doing some things, might be taking some big swings, trying some new things.
Okay. I'm very excited to hear what they are when it's time.
When it's time. I mean, that's the name of my game though. Like when it becomes formulaic to me, that's when I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't like doing the same thing twice. Every show I did on Broadway for 10 years was different. None of them were the same.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful that I seem to have a path in this new facet of the industry that is allowing me to do that. I'll be honest, it's not always easy. Sometimes you really got to go in there and like advocate for yourself in a way that's like, yes, see me for this part. I know it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to, but let me try.
Yeah. Just look. I have a hunch. Just look.
I just have a hunch. Like my gut is telling me you'll be pleasantly surprised. So it's really a lot of that. And this is my year of, I said to myself at the beginning of the year, if the energy is not electric, I do not want it.
I love that.
So that's my sort of like guiding light, and I'm following that. And so everything I do right now feels very creatively stimulated. And while that did not answer the question of what am I doing next and where's it going beyond making movies, I can tell you I'm very excited about the things I have in front of me and sensibly terrified, because when you take on bigger things, and it is scary, but I do scary things every day. And I think that's what makes life magical.
I agree.
You know?
So my favorite question to ask everyone is the following, and I wonder if maybe that's part of the answer, is that it works around like courage and fear. When you look out at the year ahead of you, what feels like your work in progress?
Ooh, I mean, my whole being is a work in progress. That's the work in progress. And here's why I say that is, you know, I think it's fairly well documented that my life changed very quickly. West Side Story absolutely changed my life. And then even though I had worked for 10 years on Broadway, that was the thing that suddenly people knew about me, right? Yeah. And I think the work in progress for me is having the courage to own this new identity, part of my identity. And to really dig in and see how far I can go with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, there's a part of me that feels like I've only scratched the surface of this area of my life, of this part of my creativity. And every day it is a work in progress to not let the fear of platform, of criticism, of failure get in the way of that, you know? So it does take courage to like, it takes courage to pursue magic. Whew.
Oh, it really does. Oh my God, yes. That, like, if I were Oprah in the audience at Harpo, I'd be like, tweet it. That's a tweet Ta-da! It moment for sure. Oh my God, it's so good. It takes courage to pursue magic. It really does.
It does. And it looks different for everybody. But that's also why I think, you know, part of this work and this year and my ambassadorship with the ACLU, it takes courage to pursue the magic of making space for everyone.
Yeah.
And for allowing everyone to be heard. It is courageous because it's hard to please, right? It's so hard to please everyone. And that is a reality. But I think the endeavor to allow everyone the opportunity to live a beautiful life and to be heard, that is a life well lived. Yeah.
Oh, and she drops the mic at the end. And the lights come on. My God, thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me share and for talking with me. I just think you're so smart and you're so inspiring. I love hearing you speak.
Look who's talking.
Oh my God. You're everything.
You're everything. I can't wait for us to go do a play together. Add it to the list.
Add it to the list, honey. Yes.
What a dream.
Do not be surprised. Thank you for doing this.
No, by the way, tell me. I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go.
I so appreciate you taking the time today, especially because I know you're on location and it is a lot to show up and offer, like, you know, your heart and your thoughts and your journey to people in such an authentic way. So thank you for doing that in the midst of like a job that, you know, has you in the tundra. It's no small effort and I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I was honored to be asked. I'm always happy to speak with you. You're a dream.
Likewise. I can't wait. Come home. Let's go see some shows.
Let's go see shows. Oh my gosh, yes. There's so many to see.
Okay.
I just turned into like 12 years old.
You're like, it's time.
It's time.
Yes.
Oh, you can't take the Broadway out of the girl. You really can't. No. Oh.
All right, my dear. You have an amazing rest of your day. Thank you.
Thanks, darling.
Appreciate you. The new Star series, Marian George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now only on Stars and the Stars app.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now.
Right Rug Flooring.